Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for bringing us here safely. We thank you for being with us, even through our trials and tribulations. You give us that courage, and you give us that strength to keep on moving. And other people can see this, and you know they can inquire about what it is about your people that makes us special in your eyes, Father Yahweh. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. We thank you for the correction. We thank you for your truth. And we pray for those all around the world that have set this day aside to worship you in spirit and truth. We pray you bless us all for keeping your Sabbath day and always teach us something new in your word that we haven't seen. And just be with all those, Father, that are crying out for health and whatever else they may need. Father Yahweh, you know our needs. You just want us to pray to you so that you can help us in those areas. And even sometimes you tell us no, we have to continue, Father, to worship you and to seek your face and your truth. We thank you for the beautiful music, and we pray that your message is a blessing to someone out there and that you touch their heart, Father Yahweh. For all these things we ask through the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. I thought I was the only one that came down with a bug this week, but now I see that other people too were suffering. So it's that time of the year after the feast. Even sometimes during the feast, some people get sick. But anyway, we keep on going. Last week, I went over to Brother Paul's house. He was teaching me how to learn drive standard, and I was really encouraged. You know, I did pretty decent, and then he was helping me out. He gave me a catalytic heater with a propane tank, and I was asking him the other day what the name of it was, because I wanted to mention this, but I didn't want to tell him about it, because I remember when I told the story of him going down the hill, how, you know, I was motivated to jump and help him out. This time, I got a new tank because the one he gave me was running out, and I was thinking of when to turn it on. So I come home from work, and I was cooking some food I wanted to eat, and it was kind of cold, so I went to turn it on, and the thing catches on fire. And even before the thing caught on fire, somebody smelled the gas and called the fire truck. So I'm running out my trailer with a tank on fire, turning it off, and the fire truck is right down the road. I said, wow, that's pretty nice. So, you know, they come over, ask me questions, what happened, what were you doing? Then they call the cops, and then he comes and he starts questioning me. So I have to tell him, you know, what happened. And when I saw the thing on fire, I said, well, I got two options. I either let the thing blow up or jump on it. So, you know, I just jumped on it. I couldn't, you know, I had to do it. And I said to myself, you know, it could be one thing or the other. It could be the evil one. He's trying to take us out. Or, you know, Yahweh's trying to tell me something that, you know, I have to, you know, be a better servant. I have to motivate. I have to, you know, motivate others in any way that I can. That was kind of like the bad part. But I also got a chance to share the word with some other co-workers, and they asked for some tapes, and they looked at the website. So the mission here to help get the word out locally, you know, Yahweh's going to help us out. And so it starts out also, you know, with those nearest to us. So, you know, we pray that Yahweh continue to help us in that mission. And if you're listening to this and you're out there somewhere and you want to help us out, then, you know, we're not going to say no to any help. I wanted to talk about Yahweh's inspired word. You know, it's self-explanatory. We heard the messages after the feast about, you know, the prophecies that have been fulfilled, and also about the anti-Messiah. And I noticed that a lot of people, they like the messages on prophecy. For some reason, it's always nice to look into the future and see what Yahweh has for us. But, you know, the future is here now, too. So for a lot of people, you know, when we talk about simple, basic stuff to us, that seems like a big deal to them, you know. But anyway, I want to open up in 2 Timothy 3:16. If you want to turn there too, we have the Apostle Paul. He was talking to Timothy here. He gave him a lot of encouragement. Timothy was a young man, and he had to step up to the plate and maybe deal with a lot of elders that had more knowledge than he did. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is inspired. It is breathed by Yahweh and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be adequate and equipped for every good work." Okay, thanks. All right, 2 Timothy. That was 2 Timothy 3:16. And Brother Donnie, he picked Psalm 13 for the psalm today. I wanted to mention that in Psalm 13 and in Psalm 54, you know, those psalms are almost identical word for word. But the first verse in both psalms, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim, there is no Yahweh." There's a lot of people out there that say this in our day and age, the evolutionists and many others. When we speak to them about Yahweh, this is what they say. They say, like what Pharaoh said, they say, "Who is Yahweh that I should obey him?" And then, you know, things happen to them. And, you know, a lot of times they might get mad at us because we're their conscience. You know, we're talking to them. We're telling them about, you know, things that they should and they shouldn't do. Brother Jason read in Exodus chapter 2, he read about Moshe, and it tells a story about him there. But in Exodus 31:18, if you want to go there, Exodus 31:18, I like to read this chapter for Sabbath, because it talks there about how it's a sign. The Sabbath is a sign between Yahweh and his people. But in Exodus 31:18, it says there, talking about Yahweh, which we know was Yahshua at this time. In 31:18, it said that when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone written by the finger of Elohim. So we see here that the words of Yahweh, we know that Yahshua is also known as the word of Yahweh, the inspired word of Yahweh. He came to explain the Old Testament, you know, the true intention of the Old Testament. He came to explain it. He came to testify of Yahweh. He came to testify of himself. He came to save us from our sins. And we see here that even though the word of Yahweh was known from the time of Adam, we see that it was written down by the finger of Elohim, and it was given here to Moses. And Moses, as his name means, it means drawn out. We also are being drawn out. We're being drawn out of the world. We're told to come out of her, my people. And so we're reading scriptures, and we're doing what is right in the sight of Yahweh, and we're trying to be motivated and at the same time trying to motivate others outside the body. And let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I know that Randy called me yesterday, and after I got the call, I thought, you know, I should have called him back and told him I wasn't coming today because I wasn't feeling good at all. But I said, you know, they've been up here before when they didn't feel so good, and Yahweh brought them through it. So I said, I know he can do the same for me, and I didn't want to put that extra burden on them, you know. I'm sure they can put together a sermon, no problem, but it was my turn, so I figured I'd just go ahead and do it. So Revelation 12 and verse 17, it says, And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold to the testimony of Yahshua. So we have the testimony of Yahshua. The testimony of Yahshua was, you know, that Yahweh is Elohim. As some people ask, who is Yahweh? Who is the one that you worship? You know, why do you call him by that name? Well, we have here the Master, Yahshua, the one that died for us, testifying of his Father, you know, of the things that are coming, you know, of those prophecies that Daniel spoke about. That's what the Messiah was, you know, testifying about also. Let's read also in John. We'll go to John chapter 5. I think the word speaks for itself. When we go out our door and we see Yahweh's creation, we see everything that, you know, that Yahweh said, you know, when he created everything, that it was good. That's what we see. Over in John chapter 5 and verse 32, it says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. This is Yahshua. He's speaking about the Father. He's speaking about Yahweh, that Yahweh testifies of him. And also in verses 36 and 37, it says, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the work which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So if you pay close attention, you see that, you know, when the Father sent the Son, that means that the Father is greater, because Yahshua is the messenger. And we strive to correct false doctrine. And when you believe that Yahweh and Yahshua are the same, you know, these scriptures here bring to light that they're different. They're separate individuals. It says here in verse 37, and the Father who has sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And so when Moses went up to get the tablets, who did he see? Who did he hear? This is Yahshua here explaining to us, you know, that he was pre-existent. That was him on the mountain. That was him giving to Moses the word that Yahweh gave to him to give. And he did it over again when he came, you know, in a physical form to explain the word to us. I was listening to some music that a sister in Nebraska gave me. I think a brother Gary is familiar with him, my sister Linda Wardlow, and it had a nice little song there, and it was a message from one of the songs from Jeremiah 6:14. And you know, a lot of us were blessed to have Yahweh's word, and it saddens us when people come into the truth and then they leave. But you know, Yahweh continues to call people out of the world, out of Christianity, out of Islam, whatever other religion you might be in, even if you're in a Judaism, he calls you into his truth. And in Jeremiah 6:14, it says there that, and they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. So the moral to the song is that a lot of ministers in our day and age, you know, they put a bandage on a wound. In the song, it talks about a man having a broken back and the bones showing, and they just come and put some oil and a bandaid on him. You know, when we know that the situation, you know, the situation is just terrible out there. And we have a lot of people out there, you know, preaching false doctrine, and this bothers us. And so we have to dig in more into the word. Try to let the word inspire us to speak more and more truth, that we keep on digging. There's things that to us, they're new. They seem new to us, but this is old. This has been buried and covered up, you know, with a lot of false teachings. And, you know, we have Christmas coming up and New Year's, and you see a lot of people, they're acting happy and they're giving you greetings and things like that. But when you stop them and you want to share truth, or when you quiz them on, you know, do you know the history behind all this? You know, they don't want to hear what you have to say. You know, they want to push you to the side and say, hey, you know, excuse me, but I got some shopping to do right now, you know. Even on Sabbath, you know, this is a thing that happens. You'll see the mad rush after the day of Thanksgiving, you know. And so, you know, we have to continue. We have to continue in Yahweh's word. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Elder Allen was speaking on this book last week, and he brought up some good points. A nice book to study. I think one translation has this as the Acts of the Jewish Apostles. I think Michael Rood was talking about that. In Acts chapter 2, we see here that the Apostle Peter, he gives a special sermon on the day of Pentecost. And verses 40 and 41, we know that the Spirit of Yahweh was full upon the apostles, and they were doing a lot of great things, and the people were seeing this. A lot of times, you know, I think it takes miracles to wake people up, but for a lot of us, it doesn't take a miracle, you know, to touch us. You know, just we were searching, or at one point, I wasn't searching, and I happened to come across the word of Yahweh. Speaking with Brother Paul, you know, I was shopping for a car, and I told him, you know, as soon as we stop shopping, the bargain's going to come along, and sure enough. So sometimes when you're not looking, you'll find some truth. You might just be reading the word, come across something. In verses 40 and 41 in Acts chapter 2, it says here, and with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them and saying, be saved from this perverse generation. This is the message that was being preached even in Noah's time. Be saved from this perverse generation. And I noticed a similarity between Moses and Noah, that he was put in a little ark and shipped on the water. You know, that's the way Yahweh saved Noah and his family. Also in verse 41 it says, so then those who had received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and through prayer. So this is another thing that we're still doing here. We're continually devoting ourselves to the teaching of Yahweh, the teaching that he gave to Yahshua. Then Yahshua passed it on down to the apostles, and also the fellowshipping on the Sabbath. You know, even if you don't want to come along, you know, you might not be feeling your greatest, but, you know, sitting there and listening to the music, I thought that was a nice, fresh touch also to a song that we heard, you know, many, many times before. And driving here too also, with the window down instead of the AC, getting some fresh air, you know, kind of helped me a little bit and motivated me a little bit. And when you know that somebody else also suffered what you're suffering, you know, then you say, okay, no big deal. Let's keep on going. No, you know, there's no harm. Also in Acts chapter 4, when Elder Allen was speaking on this, I was trying to read some other passages and also looking into the Hebrew when he was reading here. But I went back and in Acts chapter 4, on down through 11 to 12, we see that, you know, the apostles, they were trying to hold them down from speaking Yahweh's message, just like a lot of groups are trying to hold Yahweh's people down, you know, and even at some point the government will want to try to hold us down from speaking the truth. But we're going to continue, you know, and whoever hears this, you know, if you're taping it, we're going to continue to preach Yahweh's word. It doesn't matter if we have to do it, you know, in a corner somewhere, you know. But in Acts chapter 4, it says that, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Yahshua the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So this was even a bigger crowd than the other crowd in Acts chapter 2. Over there you had 3,000. But these people here, they heard the message and they were believing in the message. And then you had, even it says there, the Sadducees, you know, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's one of the faults that, you know, Yahshua pointed out to them. You know, we believe that they kept the Passover on the correct day, but they didn't believe in a resurrection. So Yahshua had to set them straight. In verse 5, it says, "And it came about on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all those who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, 'By what power or in what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yahshua Messiah, the Nazarene, whom you impaled, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very corner. And there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.'" So Peter makes a man well, and they make a ruckus. You know, they don't believe, like in Yahshua's time. You know, he made people well. They didn't believe in Yahshua. They're talking about he's a sorcerer. So then here comes Peter. He makes a man well, and they put him in jail because he's preaching about Yahshua. So he says, you know, by the name of Yahshua, you know, this thing has been done. So also here we see that Yahweh raised Yahshua from the dead. Yahweh gave Yahshua that power. So here we go again. We see that Yahweh is greater. So, you know, that's a blessing to us because we know that the subject of the Trinity is a big thing, just like other subjects. And yet, they're mysterious. You can't even prove them from the scriptures. Well, to sum up the meaning here of this word that I took upon inspired, when I looked it up, it means to be illuminated. You know, I asked a Christian at work, I said, you know, what does it mean to you to be inspired when you hear a message? You know, what is it to you? He said to me, it means to me to see things in a way we never seen them before. This is the way that we hope that when we preach scriptures to others who claim they believe in the Bible, you know, when they see some truth, they say, oh, you know, I never thought about that. That's pretty awesome. You know, thanks a lot. And then they continue in the word. Speaking to a Christian lady, I said, you know, I saw you reading the Bible over there. She said, yeah, that's my life. I said, well, you know, can I share some truth with you? She said, sure, go ahead, you know. And I told her about YRM. I told her about the website. I said, just go into the statement of beliefs and read it and then prove it from the scriptures. And then I came to her the next day. She says, oh, I haven't got to it yet. So I let some time pass. I come to her again, you know. I said, I don't want to bother her too much. So then another time I asked her and she said, you know, write it down for me. I'll check it this time. So she checked it and then she says, you don't have any CDs? You don't have any tapes? And I said, well, it just so happens I have some in the car. So I ran over and gave her some. So now we have to see how you know, the planting of that seed goes, because we know that Yahweh is going to do the watering there. So, you know, that's an awesome thing, you know, when you just be humble with people, you know, and they listen to what you're saying, and then you just stand back and you watch them. You don't try to push them too much. So hopefully she'll be inspired by the messages. Another meaning here is a divine or seemingly divine imparting of knowledge or power. We just read that here in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. Peter had this power. Also the other apostles, you know, had that power to go out and heal and even cast out demons. We know that at one point they weren't able to. But in this situation, you know, they were able to make a man well. So we know that that's Yahweh's doing. You know, relative words to being inspired are quicken, stimulate, infect, infuse, and endow. And also, in another dictionary, it defines it as to fill with noble or reverent emotion, to exalt. So when you worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, you know, you're inspired to stimulate creativity or action. We saw that in the message about the tabernacle. We know that the man on their own, with their own fleshly power, they weren't going to be able to build that tabernacle the same way that, you know, that it was shown to Moses. So Yahweh gave the man a special portion of the spirit to build this, and also the temple. The temple was an awesome thing because they cut the rocks before they even put them there, so there would be no noise. And so that was awesome too. Another one is to elicit or create in another. For that one, I put down giving visions to his people, not just the prophets that wrote books for us. You know, in our day and age, we can still, you know, have a vision about something. Also to inhale. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. Every scripture is breathed by Yahweh. And we saw that, you know, when Yahshua gave the tablets to Moses, we know that it was the words of Yahweh given to him. So this definition, you know, it goes along with that. Also, how the prophets were moved to give us insight into future events. And it's all done by the power of Yahweh. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're reading verses 20 and 21. It says here, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from Yahweh." So I went through some of the prophets, and we see in the beginning, in their intros, they said, this is the vision of Isaiah, this is the vision of Jeremiah. We read in other books, you know, the word of Yahweh came to me. The word of Yahweh came to me, and this is what it told me to write, and I wrote it down. So Yahweh puts it in our minds. The scripture says that we have the mind of Messiah. So when we're in that mind frame, Yahweh gives us, you know, special truth. And so sometimes, you know, a brother might write a song. This is from Yahweh. Yahweh gave him the words to write. It's not a, it might be a song that's from the song, but it might be something else from an experience that they had, something that they want to share, you know, with the brothers. I remember a brother in the Philippines, he was writing some sad songs about things that would happen to him and how he was a little upset that, you know, some men would quote a lot of scriptures, you know, but maybe they didn't show that love that we're supposed to have. So he talked about it in a song, and it's too bad that the video didn't catch real good. You know, the audio is not too good on the video, but it's a nice memory, you know, that I can keep and share. So, you know, just in case that people misunderstood or misunderstand Yahweh, you know, Yahweh sent his only son. And his son explained the words of Yahweh to us. You know, he came to save us from our sin. He came to do the will of Yahweh, not his own. He also came to explain those scriptures that many in our day and age are twisting to their own destruction. Also, in the Old Testament, as we know it, it speaks there of how Yahweh, you know, how everything came to be. It speaks how, you know, Yahweh has love for his special chosen people, how we should love and obey him, how we need a Savior because of the mess that we made of Yahweh's perfect creation. And when we speak of the mess that we have made of Yahweh's creation, you know, why was it that there was a flood? Didn't Yahweh tell Noah about a flood? And this was written down for us, and it happened. You know, this is like one of those other prophecies that has come to us. Let's go over down to Amos. Also, we know that we're special in Yahweh's eyes because we're a small group, and we're striving against the world to do what is right in Yahweh's sight. But over in Amos chapter 3 and in verse 7, it says there, "Surely the sovereign Yahweh does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. But then you don't have to be a prophet for Yahweh to reveal something to you. So this is another thing that Yahweh does. In his mercy, he actually tells us what he's going to do. Being that the scripture says he does whatever he pleases. He can create and destroy, and he doesn't have to tell you anything. But he does. He tells you. He lets you know ahead of time. You know, because you're following me, I'm going to bless you. And if you're not, then the opposite's going to happen. I'm going to let you know ahead of time. Let's go over also to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we have some interesting information here. I remember one brother asking about, you know, was John the Eliyah to come? And we have an answer here in Matthew 11. Also, you know, sometimes a lot of people, they have doubts, you know, am I really worshiping the true Elohim, you know? Am I really, you know, following Yahshua? You know, John here, he had a question, you know. He saw Yahshua and then he asked, you know, are you really the Messiah? So, you know, the Messiah had to confirm, yes. And also, in this chapter, we see that, you know, some people, you know, they might not believe Yahweh, they might not believe Yahshua. Well, okay. So then here he comes and he does some works. And then he tells the people, look, if you don't believe my Father and me, believe the works that I'm doing, that, you know, they're of the Father. And he chastises some cities here. He says, look, if I would have done the miracles I'm doing here in other cities, you know, they would have repented. They would have been saved, you know. But over in verse 25, in Matthew 11, it says here, and at that time, Yahshua answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you did hide these things from the wise and intelligent and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So we see here, as it says in Romans 1, talking about the wise, they thought they were wise, but, you know, Yahweh made them look like fools. It says here that, you know, to the humble in spirit, Yahweh revealed these things to us. You know, in the apostles' time, a secret at that time was that Yahshua was the Messiah, come in the flesh, because they didn't know these things. Even though they knew the scriptures, you know, they studied the scriptures, yet they didn't know even that simple thing. Even when the Messiah spoke to Nicodemus, he told them, I'm talking to you about earthly things and you don't grasp them. So how can I talk to you about spiritual things? And yet he was a teacher in Israel. Let's go back down to Genesis. There was servants before Abraham like Noah, Enoch, and Shem. And we know that Yahweh spoke to Adam in the garden, told him what to do. We read of Abel doing a sacrifice. But in Genesis 18:17, we know that Abraham was going to be a great man. And in verse 17, it says here, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Yahweh said, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of Yahweh by doing righteousness and justice, in order that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So what was Abraham told? Well, let's see here. Abraham was told, come out of her, my people. That was the first thing. He said, come out of your people. He was told that a good portion of land he walked on would at some point belong to his descendants, that he would have a son, and that Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed and Lot spared. and also that the Israelites would be in bondage in Egypt, but Yahweh would judge their gods and deliver Israel. So, you know, here's mercy. Again, Yahweh had mercy on Lot, Abraham's family. And, you know, he told Abraham about these things. He said, look, this is what I'm going to do. And then we saw later on in that chapter, we saw Abraham pleading. He didn't know that Lot was going to be spared, and yet he was. Because it talks about in the New Testament about Lot being righteous. Also, we see that some of these things, you know, like Lot being called out, we're being called out. You know, like Yahweh judging the gods of the nations, that's going to happen again when Yahshua comes. He's going to put down all rebellion. And so we know that Yahshua, he's also known as the word of Yahweh. You know, he spoke to Adam just like he did to Abraham. You know, spoke to him face to face. And so, you know, didn't he, Yahshua, say the words that Yahweh gave him? That's what he spoke. And the works that he did testify of Yahweh. So they testify of each other. And the scripture that says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. We see Yahweh and Yahshua. They're confirming the fact. And something I had written down here, Donnie told me to mention it. But when we talk about two or three witnesses, we have this word, Tanakh. It comes from Torah, the law or instruction, the first five books, from the Nebiim, the prophets, or we have the writings. So you can read in each three of the sections, and Yahshua the Messiah, he says that those words written down, they spoke of him. They spoke, you know, of the Messiah. So in the New Testament, when we read it, we read about the one that Moshe wrote about. So, like Yahshua said, if we don't believe the Father or the Son, believe in the works that he did. And even Flavius Josephus, a Jewish historian, he spoke about Mashiach. He spoke about, it says in there, Christ, but that came from the Latin to the English. So we know that, you know. Also, another thing, a lot of people think that, you know, when Christmas time comes around, you see, you know, the Messiah and a little baby, or a lot of times you see people with a cross, you see the Messiah there, you know, impaled. You know, they forget that he's alive right now. He's sitting right next to the Father. And so we have to share this with people because they still, I think in their mind, they think he's dead. He's, you know, I don't know where that teaching comes from. But, you know, in many instances in the scriptures, Israelites and Gentiles alike, they were moved to repent and change their ways and turn to Yahweh. And a lot of times this is why the prophets of the Most High were sent. They were sent to warn the people. They had the first five books, and they were told, okay, you're going to be given a portion of land. Go there. Do Yahweh's Torah. Keep his law. You know, love your neighbor. And what did they do? No, they turned to the idols of the pagans. So, you know, they had to be sent into captivity to be corrected. So then we had the prophets come to them. Then we had the writings written down. We had the Psalms. We had Proverbs. And so, I mean, the message is being repeated over and over. You know, even in the New Testament, we have the Messiah telling people, you know, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. But also we know that the evil one, he also has his counterfeits. Let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. We see in Matthew and in the first four books of the New Testament, the Messiah, he corrects the Pharisees, the Sadducees, but, you know, he's also correcting those that are teaching in our day and age. You know, if we know a lot of truth and we're not doing it, the message is for us. We have to correct our ways. In Matthew 23, in verse 34, he says, behold, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and impale, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Becariah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. The same thing is happening. You know, Yahweh is still sending prophets to the people. He's sending them scribes and wise men, just like the Messiah says here. And what do? They're persecuting us because they don't want to hear the truth. Let's turn also in chapter 24 to verses, chapter 24 of Matthew, verses 24 and 25. It says here, for false messiahs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So when the apostles also, just like the people in our day and age, they're giddy up, they have the Messiah there, they say, great, he's going to restore the kingdom now, all right. And they're asking him, you know, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? The first thing he told them was, don't be deceived. The same thing he's telling us, don't be deceived. Because then these false prophets are going to come along. And they might be able to do miracles where even Yahweh's people won't be able to do miracles, you know. But that really doesn't matter. Because, you know, a lot of times the false doctrine, that's the one that sounds real good. But the truth is the one that sounds bitter because it hits us. It hits us where it hurts. Just like it says in Hebrews that the word of Yahweh is sharp. You know, it cuts. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, it cuts us deep down inside. Let's also go to Jeremiah 23. I like this chapter here, Jeremiah 23, because it tells us that people try to hide the name, try to disguise it, try to get us to use a title instead of the name because of superstition. But in Jeremiah 23, in verses 21 and 22, Yahweh says, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But then he says, but if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. So we have compromisers. Some people have the power. You know, they're teaching false doctrine, but they have the power where if they spoke Yahweh's truth, they would actually turn some people from their ways. That's what it says here, that you know, if these false prophets would actually speak Yahweh's word, they would have turned the people aside. But, you know, just like the message said, you know, they rather hear the lies and the soft teachings than the truth. So, in closing, I'd like to mention, let me go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. This goes back to what I was saying earlier. We talk about how Miriam and Aaron, they were rebelling and speaking bad about Moses. But we know that Moses was a prophet sent by Yahweh. And there was no other prophet, it says in Scripture, like Moses, besides the Messiah. But in verses 5 and 6 in Numbers 12, it says there, then Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of Yahweh. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So we see here that, you know, Yahweh makes his word known to us in a vision. And once again, you don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to write a book with your name on it for Yahweh to reveal some stuff to you, some truth, maybe some truth that you've been waiting all your life to hear. You know, people in their 80s have come to know about Yahweh and repented. So you're never too old. You might be too young to get baptized, but you're never too old. So, you know, this is a blessing from Yahweh. Like I said before, you know, Yahweh makes his word known to us one way or another. He'll make his word known to you like he did to the prophets. So we, in turn, we're inspired and we're motivated. And when we have the Messiah, the minor Messiah, we utter some prophetic sayings. You know, we say some things to some people that go over their heads. They don't know, you know, where we get this knowledge from. And so right now, one of the tasks that we have is to share with anyone who will listen about the true Elohim, the mighty one or judge of the Hebrews. The scriptures calls Yahweh the Elohim of the Hebrews. And, you know, his true Hebrew name and his son's name, according to Proverbs 30, verse 4. You know, what is the father's, what is the son's name? If you know it, then tell me. You know, and clearing up a lot of truth that has been distorted. We all have to do our best to help the body since we're a small flock. And, you know, I appreciate the motivation that the organization, you know, after the feast, they came, you know, and we had the meeting last time. And, you know, we want to do some great things. We want to continue to publish and to speak to people about Yahweh's truth. And, you know, we hope that Yahweh helps us in this. We know that he will. But we have to be the ones that are motivated. We have to get out there and do it. So my hope is that when we read the scriptures, we're motivated to search the deeper things and get motivated to be better servants. May Yahweh bless you.